You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, Christmas Photos. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
If we could take a picture of God, and I stress the word if, because we cannot take a picture of God. God isn't visible to us. But if we could take a picture of God, what do you imagine you'd see? Several images might pop into your mind, including a king sitting upon a throne. That's a good picture. God is indeed a king. Like the hymn says, "Oh, worship the king, all glorious above." God is king of all places, from the farthest stars to the most insignificant corner of your home. God is king of all ages, from the ancient days of Babylon and Egypt and Israel to the years yet to come. God is king of all people, not just Christians, but also Jews and Muslims and animists and agnostics and atheists. He's king of all places, all people, all ages. This picture of God as king is accurate. But sitting on a throne? That picture isn't quite accurate. If we could take a photo of God today, we might be surprised to discover that his throne is empty. Oh, it's not that God has abdicated his kingship. Just the opposite. God is exercising his kingship now, just as much as he did back in the old days of the Bible. Because he's exercising his kingship, don't picture him isolated on a heavenly throne, far removed from your life. Picture the great king coming toward you. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation." He comes, and lonely people rejoice. Who among us doesn't experience loneliness? A woman wrote to us from Phoenix, Arizona, and said, "I was sitting here, wondering why I did not receive any letters from family or friends. I felt very alone. And then a friend told me that I had received a letter. I asked myself, who could it be? And guess what? It was Jesus from Lutheran Hour Ministries." She was referring to a Bible study series that we offer. It's called Real Life. You see, the King comes to you through the words of the Bible. And that is absolutely just as real as when a friend or family member comes to you through a letter or through email. Yes, indeed, the King comes to give joy. A man wrote and told us, "For 17 years I was a police officer in Iowa. Like most officers, I was forced to work many Sundays while my wife and children attended church. This left an emptiness within me, but that emptiness was filled by the Lutheran Hour. Every Sunday morning that I was in the patrol car, the Lutheran Hour was with me to start my week off right. Now I'm not reading his letter to brag about our program, but rather to make the point that the King brings joy to us in our times of loneliness. Sometimes through the printed words of the Bible, sometimes through spoken words of religious broadcasts, of Sunday sermons, of Christian conversations, and the like, the King comes. Some of you listeners are lonely because you're incarcerated. A pastor in Hanford, California, called our offices to ask for prayers as he undertook a prison ministry. The prayers were answered because there are now 5 prisoners meeting regularly with him to learn about the good news of Jesus Christ. You understand, it's not just a minister going into the prison. It's the King coming into the prisoners' lives through the Christ-centered words and visits of the pastor. That brings the joy that God intends every last one of us to have, especially you. I know of only one way that the King and His glory will be kept out of your life. If prison bars cannot keep out the coming King, then no hospital room is so hopeless, no nursing home room so bleak, no abuse so physically and psychologically damaging, no work so stressful, no marriage so troubled, no life so lonely. In short, there is only one circumstance in your life that can keep out the king who comes to bring you his presence and joy. Only one way will he be shut out, and that is by your refusal to receive him. The king's coming to you is inevitable. Just as surely as you hear words of Christ in the holiday season. And who can avoid the words of Christ in Christmas these days? So surely the King is coming to you. So if you want to end the loneliness of your life, if you yearn for joy, then prepare to meet the coming King. Did you ever have a friend call up and say, "Hi, I'm just passing through town. I've got a few minutes. Could I stop by and see you?" Your friend then says, "Don't do anything. Don't worry about the house. I just want to see you." Then you hang up, you forget what was just said, and you scurry around the house, feverishly trying to put things in some order. Our most important company for Christmas, the coming King, does not want you to put on a good appearance for him. He wants you to welcome him just as you are. Let me demonstrate by talking about Christmas photos. This is the time of year when we take snapshots at our holiday get-togethers. We often include pictures in the cards that we send to one another. Take a look at those photos. Everybody looks happy on these pictures, but are they really? Take a look at photos of yourself. Are you truly as happy as your pose suggests? Don't fake it for the coming King. He comes to you and sees you with X-ray vision. So don't try and put on a good appearance for his divine company. Don't imagine that the coming king will be deceived by the happy, "I've got my life in order" pose that you strike. Receive him with the unretouched truth of your life. Oh God, you would do well to say, "I'm so often unhappy. Do you come to bring me joy?" Oh God, you do well to confess, "I often feel so alone. My words tell a truer story than my pictures. I often complain that no one calls me unless they want something from me. No one writes me except for junk mail. No one visits me." What kind of expressions do you use that reveal your feelings of loneliness? "No one cares about me. Oh God, I'm a sinner. Do you come to forgive me?" Now that might be a new question for you to put to the coming King, an idea that you haven't thought about too much. We all feel our hurts. We know our pains. We live with our fears. But all too often, we don't see them as symptoms of sin. Sadness and all the feelings that come with loneliness trace back to sin. Sin is not living the way God wants. It's keeping God out. When we keep the King out, we're separated from him and often from others. Hence, we feel alienated and alone. God, our Creator, is obviously our source of joy. When we creatures keep the King out of our lives, we leave joy outside our heart. Hence, we're often unhappy. It's like smiling for a photo when you're really hurting deep down inside. So, you can clean up for most holiday company, but don't scurry around feverishly trying to put on a good appearance for the coming King. Oh God, you do well to say, "I'm a sinner. Do you come to forgive me?" The answer is yes. Yes, the King comes to forgive you and to rescue you from the threatening perils of your sins. Zechariah says, "See, your King comes to you, righteous and having salvation." Let me share with you a real-life story about the King coming into one man's loneliness. This is the story of John Cosgrove. John was a guest on the TV talk program that I host called On Main Street. John was raised in a family that went to church, but it didn't sink in with John. He says, "At 15, I discovered booze. At 16, I gave up religion. And at 17, I discovered sexual intercourse and drugs." John was dating Angela. When he found out that Angela was pregnant, he thought, "We knew this might happen, right? We want to spend our lives together, right? And this is our child, right? So let's just get married, okay?" Not okay with Angela. Angela thought, "We love each other, but forever? And we want to go to college, right? And we've got other things we want to do, right? And it's my body anyway, so what I say goes, right? So let's just abort it, okay? And that's what they did. They went to a nearby abortion clinic, and John paid half of the $300 charge to get rid of the baby. That was in 1974, and John didn't say a word about the abortion until 2 years later. First he told a friend at a party, and then 6 months later he told Ruth, the woman whom he eventually married. John says, "I had now told my story twice in 6 months. Both times I grieved sincerely, but incompletely. I retained my self-abusive habits in a futile attempt to keep the guilt and pain hidden. It would be more than 10 years before I told the story again." John is a real-life example of the isolation, the loneliness that results from sin. His use of liquor and drugs just made him feel more alone. John, as I said, married Ruth, and she became a Christian. John couldn't talk to Ruth about the problem. As he says, "My tendency is to keep my feelings bottled up." That made things worse. John wanted out of the marriage, but he came to see that he was going deeper into his isolation. Finally, John confessed, "I put aside my selfish, macho indignation and told Ruth what I was really feeling, that I was reacting badly to myriad influences, that the only effective method I ever learned for handling trouble was to run." But the king came to John. John and Ruth decided to make a go of the marriage. John started to go to Bible study with Ruth. Bible study was threatening to John. He says, "I was afraid that if I did learn anything from God's word, I would be all too cognizant of his laws that I was flagrantly breaking. I would then be forced to realize my culpability, thereby making myself feel all the more guilty. What I was truly unaware of was the hope of redemption that lay in those same pages. I learned that maybe my life didn't have to be the miserable affair it had become. Yes, I was accountable for my sins, but I learned I didn't have to suffer for eternity because of them." The king was coming to John, and the king kept on coming. Through Bible study and church, through counseling and Christian conversation, God gave John faith in the forgiveness and hope for the future that Jesus Christ brings. When the prophet Zechariah said that the king comes with righteousness, he's describing the forgiveness that Jesus Christ earned on the cross for John Cosgrove and for us all. And when Zechariah said that the king has salvation, he describes the deliverance that God works for those who believe the good news of Jesus Christ. That is deliverance from present evils, such as the destructive and isolating conducts that so many people are engaged in. And that is also an eternal deliverance, the ultimate victory of unending life in heaven. So let the King come into your heart and life. Believe that the King comes to you in the good news of Jesus Christ. He says, "Be earnest and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Then Christ says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, "To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear." The Bible does have passages that picture our God and Savior sitting on a throne. Here the picture is completed. Someday you and I and all who love Christ coming will with our own eyes see him enthroned in heavenly splendor. But for now, we do not have pictures of God. Now we have his word. His word pictures a God who is exercising his kingship by coming to us with righteousness and salvation in the good news of Jesus Christ. So, you are not alone. You and I can be photographed with genuine, heartfelt smiles on our faces this holiday season. "O Lord, how shall I meet thee?" is the title of an Advent hymn. The answer is to greet him as you are, with faith and with joy. Until next week, the King comes to you. Rejoice. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.